I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a few minutes, our listeners will talk back to us. They'll tell us more about how they feel about the stories we covered this week. But first, we want to continue this conversation on the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street. We're talking about what these two groups may or may not have in common. Still with us, Rich Harwood, president and founder of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation. He raised this question in his blog this week. Also with us, Shelby Blakely, citizen journalist and coordinator for the Tea Party Patriots, and Kyle Christopher, an Occupy Wall Street participant and freelance photojournalist. Okay, Rich, what's the question for both of our guests?
Well, first, let me ask this, two parts. One is for Shelby and Kyle both. Where do you make your home?
Well, as in, where do I live?
Yeah.
I'm currently in the Atlanta area, but I recently moved from Washington State.
Okay. And Kyle, how about you?
I came from Rust Belt, Buffalo, New York, straight up down here to Brooklyn, New York.
And Rich, I have to tell you, we don't have a lot of time, so you kind of, okay. I know Kyle's critical of the idea of get to the point, but we do have to get to the point for today. Okay.
So here's the question. When you think about living in Atlanta or in Buffalo, what are your aspirations for those communities?
Kyle, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure, fine. I would say as far as Buffalo, New York is concerned, I want to see it stop becoming a Rust Belt city that's just dropping tons of its money out of the Buffalo system and getting it siphoned out to, you know, little programs like National Fuels Conservation Incentive Program or, you know, just basically being siphoned out into the New York City area. Those are things that I'd like to stop. I'd like to see it progress as opposed to just be, you know, Rust Belt.
I'd like to see the people of Atlanta and, honestly, in Washington, where I moved from and spent most of my life, I'd like to see the people in those communities be free from overly burdensome federal regulation, free to explore workable options for their local industries, their local education, through consumer choice instead of state-run monopolies like we have in education.
Okay, Rich, so. Where do you want to go?
If we had more time, Michelle, I'd probably probe some more about the communities themselves and what kind of community they want those communities to become. Mm-hmm. And then what are some of our common challenges in actually achieving those aspirations in those communities? And what we found across the country, as you reframe the discussion to that, and we put aside just for a moment what organization we run, what group we run, what we do, what we find is, in every community I've been in, there is an emergence of at least some common ground that we can begin to work on, notwithstanding our real differences.
Okay. So politics does take place, though, on both a national and a local level. I mean, that is kind of how it works. I'd be interested in thoughts about how that gets translated. But I did offer each of you the opportunity to speak to each other and ask each other a question. I'd like to extend that now. So, Shelby, do you want to go first?
Sure. Kyle, I noticed earlier you mentioned that you would like to see more corporate responsibility. My question to you is, how would you achieve that corporate responsibility? Would you rather see the free market and consumer choice dictate who succeeds and who fails, thereby administering corporate responsibility through success and failure? Or would you rather have additional government regulation where the government decides who follows what law and who gets punished and who gets off scot-free?
There's two different ways to answer that question. The first is that government regulation would work only into an effect of if the legislative, like if the lobbyists that are all above it with lots of money that are lobbying for change aren't paying the government to make those decisions for them. So I guess you could say that you'd like to – I would like to achieve that in some way of having regulation be that, you know, our local governments be that – you know, different regulative branches of, you know, different subsidiaries, et cetera, that would take care of those things. I can't be the one to say exactly who would enforce those regulations, but I know that outside of this country, it really doesn't matter when you get to some place like the Congo and they're just like mining things with their bare hands. And that's our fault because we want an iPad.
Mm. Kyle, what's your question for Shelby?
I'd like to ask, how did you think that this was going to work when you say that you don't want to spend so much more money, but you guys drank the Kool-Aid anyway when you got in bed with, like, you know, MoveOn.org or any of the other institutions that just dumped money on the Tea Party? I mean, Sarah Palin.
I'm familiar with Sarah Palin is not the Tea Party Tea Party leader, I believe you cannot speak for those who you do not speak to. And Sarah Palin does not communicate with Tea Party patriots. I have never seen any sort of money or funding from MoveOn.org. In fact, I've never seen major funding from anything like Americans for Prosperity, headed by the Koch brothers, FreedomWorks, MoveOn.org. I've never seen large funding come through from any of those organizations, so I simply have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you know, I have a question for each of you. I wonder whether, and I just want to mention that we wanted to give this conversation more time because we thought we did want to give you guys a chance to sort of talk more to each other. So we're going to put our Back Talk conversation on the web this week, and people can find it there. But do you think that in part maybe your differences are a function of kind of who you are, that where you live, where you grew up? Do you think that that's part of it, or do you think it's strictly kind of philosophical and political? Kyle, I'll ask you that. What do you think?
I mean, like I said, I come from a Rust Belt city. So, I mean, I'm from Buffalo, New York. There's not a lot there. You know what I mean? It's a great place. There's a great food and art scene. And that's awesome. And I'd say that, yes, that definitely shaped my personality by coming from a place that doesn't have a lot or just doesn't have a lot in a different way. Hmm. Philosophically, I'd say that there's parts of the Tea Party that I really like and I could get behind. I think that it would be really sweet if, you know, both sides could just put aside those differences. But again, there's so much money that's in the Tea Party. I think that that's the major point of contention. And I think that unfortunately, because there's so much money, it makes a lot of people from Occupy Wall Street scared of that. Or not, I wouldn't want to use the word scared. I would say it raises concerns as to how can you achieve something where you want to spend less money, you want to make so many more cutbacks, you want to have, you know, a deregulation industry, and you also want the market to kind of become its own animal. How can all of those things succeed when you're just injecting it with money? I mean, I don't mean to cut you off, but that's just the way that things seem to be going.
I understand. Shelby, I got to give you a chance to respond there. And it is interesting to me because when we met you last year, you had been unemployed for a period of time, too. So you're not without challenges in your own life. And so in the minute that we have left, you know, how do you think your upbringing and all of your experiences have made you who you are?
Well, for starters, I grew up in an extremely impoverished home that had its fair share of violence, and I understand what happens when authority is not checked. I have a deep and abiding understanding of that. That being said, I also believe in personal responsibility, and right now the government is not exercised. It is not holding itself to the same standard it holds everyone else to. That's where we get crony capitalism. So ideologically, I am all for personal responsibility, and if the government fails to do that, by all means, we will control the government for them if they cannot control themselves. That being said, I have to disagree with the idea that there's all of this money floating around in the Tea Party. Occupy Richmond has been able to occupy the park that they're in for weeks on end without any charge from the local government, when the Tea Party was charged $10,000 for insurance, for police, and for crowd control and porta potties at events. So where the money is coming and going and where we're injecting all this money, that money was raised, you know, dollars and cents at a time by passing the hat at meetings. So I'm not understanding where this idea that the Tea Party is swimming in bucket loads of cash is coming from.
I don't know that we got very far, but I do appreciate the fact that we made an effort and we are at least starting our conversation together. And Rich, we appreciate you for the idea. Rich Harwood is the founder and president of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation. We caught up with him in Denver. Shelby Blakely is a citizen journalist and coordinator of the Tea Party Patriots. She was with us from our member station, WABE, in Atlanta. And Kyle Christopher is also a journalist. He's a freelance photojournalist and Occupy Wall Street participant. He was with us from our bureau in New York. I thank you all so much for starting the conversation.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rich.